Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
6 minutes after 11 Central African Time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you are doing awesome on this beautiful overcast morning. The rain is just not coming down. Everybody's making dua for rain. I'm making dua for rain. You making dua for rain. We're all making dua for rain. And of course, the dua is Allahumma askina ghaythan mughaythan hani'an mari'an muri'a ghayra darin ajilan ghayra ajil. Allahumma askina al-ghayth. Allahumma askina al-ghayth. Allahumma askina al-ghayth. Ya mughaythu aghithna. Ya mughaythu aghithna. Ya mughaythu aghithna. That's the dua that we should make for rain. And inshallah, 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 the rain is bound to come. Because I can see it. I can see it wants to come, but there is something just holding back. You know, sometimes we ask, is it because of our sins? Is it because of our wrongdoings? Is it because of our actions? Yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners. I want to welcome my engineer, Brother Tobel, this beautiful Tuesday morning on the bliss of marriage. Every morning, every Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, part one. Of course, part two is Wednesdays, 11 o'clock, 11 to 12, part two, every Wednesdays. And let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. And of course, let's welcome the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Where are my beautiful listeners? Hello, listeners. How are you? Where are you? Yes, I know you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 084-786-3132. Just to the listeners out there, remember our new number, 854-2990. That's our new Markaz Sahaba number. You just need contact. You just needed to contact our beloved brother, Sheikh Imran, our receptionist, every day between 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. 8 to 5 every day on 011-854-2990. That is 011-854-2990. My beloved Fadila Tulu studies with me this Tuesday morning. Let's welcome him onto the program, being today the 16th of Safar, 1441. Respected Honorable Fadila Tul Ustad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, I like this question here. Mufti Saab, my wife keeps following me everywhere I go. She suspects me of having a girlfriend. This is becoming very irritating. Because now she asking for cameras to be installed everywhere. What do I do, Mufti? Please help me, urgent, anonymous brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For a successful marriage, there must be trust from both sides. Obviously, if there are telltale signs that your husband is having an affair, then it's a different matter. But till then, you can't just be suspicious. Almighty Allah warns us, Surah Hujurat, chapter 49, verse number 12, Almighty Allah states, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. O you who believe, abstain from this doubt and suspicion most of the time. Inna ba'da dhanni ithm. Sometimes the suspicion is sinful. Wa la tajassasu. And do not get involved in spying and so forth. So yes, my advice to you, sister, will be that you must be watching the activities of your husband. That's good. But to go beyond the limits without any doubt, without any evidence, without any evidence, without any proof, and now you're going to harm that marriage of yours. So what you should do is this, when negativity comes into you, and you think your husband is doing this, he's doing that, read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. The Quran Sharif has two lessons for us. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That when the shaitan attacks you with all these negative thoughts, then seek the protection of Allah. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And second, the shaitan's aim, as mentioned in the Quran Sharif, يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. He wants to cause separation, divorce between husband and wife. So therefore, you sister, you must read these two du'as. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. O Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. And O Allah, I'm reading, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, you are the creator of love. Bring about that love and bring about that mahabbah within our hearts. So that is what you should do. Remember how long you're going to follow your husband. He'll go to work, he'll go to masjid, he'll go here. It's impossible. So the shaitan will cause so much harm to you and to your husband, and that will destroy your marriage. Allah forbid.
Ustad, a sister from Indonesia wants to know, on menstruating days, should a woman continue wazifa or stop, Ustad?
It depends which type of wazifa we are talking about. Wazifa means your normal habits. For example, if you are reading the Munajat Maqbool or Al-Hisbul A'azam and so forth and so on, so remember, that's fine that you continue reading it. That is fine. There's no problem with that, even in your menses. But you do know during your menses there's no salat. Your namaz will be waved off. No ada, no qada. Likewise, you can't be touching the Quran Sharif. Similarly, you should know the next issue, and that is the Quranic verses that you read as a dua. For example, you want to read قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ before you sleep, and you do not make intention of tilawat of Quran and recitation of Quran, but you make the intention of dua. So that would be permissible and acceptable. Similarly, another issue which is common and people ask it, that the lady is in menses and now she wants to read the manzil. You know the kitab written by Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith, Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu. Remember that in that case our fatwa is not permissible, because various verses there got nothing to do with dua. You look at Surah Ar-Rahman, Yursalu alaykuma shuwadun min nar wa nuhasun falatan tasiran فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. You look at Surah Was-Safat, the beginning verses, there's no dua there. Was-Safat is waffan. So therefore, that you can't say that, no, I'm reading all this with intention of dua, but there's not a dua involved there. So therefore, we will say, one must abstain from reading the manzil whilst you are in your menses. But your other dua kitabs, your 40 Rabbanas and so forth, you read that during menses, all that would be permissible and acceptable.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, somebody says here that, Mufti Sahab, I'm listening to you from Mayfair. My job is causing my marriage to go down, Mufti Sahab. I work because my husband can't find a job because he has no qualifications. I can't leave work as we will starve. What should I do, Ustaz Anonymous?
Remember, sister, the one part of your question, we need to rephrase it. You can't say that your husband will not get work because he got no qualifications. Remember that we are Muslims. And 3/4 the people in the world don't have qualifications, but they got job. So we say that things work with a decree of Almighty Allah, not with degrees. So we need to remove that myth and that misconception from our mind and our head. Tell your husband that he must go to the various organizations. You say that you are there in Mayfair. There's so many organizations there in Mayfair, in Fortsburg, and so forth and so on. And he must go and tell them that he's prepared to do this work, that work. But sometimes people feel that is beyond their pride or arrogance to do certain work. If somebody tells him, fine, that you can sweep the floors, or you can wash the cars, or you can clean the garden, or something, he'll say, no, I don't want to do this type of job. So now he will sit at home, become a parasite, and then you as a female who's supposed to be at home, now you will have to work. So you need to discuss this issue with your husband. What is preventing him from working? working. Don't say it is his qualifications. What type of work he wants to do. Maybe he wants very flexi hours and he wants good wages and so forth. As happens nowadays, so many people want that luxury job and that comfy job, and then they want the good wages and perks and what have you. So obviously that is not going to get that. So in a case like that, he must be the one working and not you. For you, sister, to say that you will starve to death, that also is wrong. You must remember, if you stay at home, your husband is there, and you got nothing, both of you got nothing. So remember, in that case, Islam has said, you take zakat. So how can we say that we'll be starving to death and so forth? So remember, Islam has given us the alternatives, but many a time we feel that, no, we know better. So that is where the problem comes about. So these 2-3 issues need to be rectified, even in the question. Nothing works with degrees. I know of people who never went to high school. In standard 4, standard 5, they finish, and today they're multimillionaires. What qualifications they got? Absolutely nothing. And you must remember to say the woman must work, otherwise people will starve to death. That also is incorrect Islamically. Remember, for that very reason, Islam has instituted and made compulsory zakat, so that the lady does not have to go and work. Because remember, there will be so many problems, especially in today's toxic environment. You see that when the women are at work, then the men want to take advantage of them. There's sexual harassment. There are so many other issues that come about. So therefore, we need to understand the proper Islamic perspective.
Subhanallah. I see we go to Springs. MashaAllah. This is Brother Muhammad. He says, respected Mufti Sahib, we thoroughly enjoy Sirius FM. Subhanallah. He wants to know, is it permissible for a woman to perform a nikah? And if so, what evidence can be adapted from the Holy Quran or Sunnah? Brother Muhammad from Springs, Ustad.
MashaAllah, we welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As long as you are benefiting, brother, Amen. And whether it be on the Sirius platform, Markaz Sahaba platform, or Ansar platform, that is what we is our duty, that the education that the Ummah is lacking today. So we need to educate them, give them the correct information, and that will bring about the transformation, inshallah. Allah. So your question is this, can a woman just get married and so forth, initiate things? Yes, she can do that, but that does not mean that just doing that will suffice. It will not suffice. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, various compilations, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. The nikah will not be valid except with the consent of the father, the biological father, not stepfather or foster father and so forth. It must be, or adopted father nowadays people have. So it must be the biological father. That's one issue. So let's say now that a certain lady came and she told the man, you know what, me, I want to marry you. So he can't just say, yes, I'll marry you and everything is fine. No, you need 2 male witnesses. She needs permission from her father. If her father is deceased, then a grandfather, her dada, paternal grandfather. If he is deceased, then her son, if he is mature and sane, her brother, her own brother, so her own paternal uncle, her chacha, her kaka. So all these factors must be taken into consideration. Then only the nikah will be valid. If we're going to allow, hypothetically, that a lady just tells a man, I'm going to marry you, and the marriage is valid, what a chaos, mayhem it will cause. People will not even know that their daughters and sisters are married. So therefore, Islam wants a pure and a chaste system. Nobody can point a finger at your integrity, because there are witnesses, there is Ithnul Wali, consent from the father, paternal grandfather side, and in that way your own honor and your own respect and your self-esteem will all be protected, your integrity will be protected.
We go to, this is Ustad, it's from Cape Town, mashallah. His name is Yahya. He says, Mufti Saab, I hope you are well. I'm listening to the program. I have a second wife, but both my wives are not aware of this. I am Brother Yahya. I am wrong, and I would like to break the news to both of them. How do I do this? From Paul. Where's Paul, Ustad? Cape Town.
Pal is there in Cape Town. It's very, very beautiful place. We visited Pal. You must remember, in Pal, you might get some pearls also. So you must remember this type of things there. My brother, you haven't broken the news. You wear the wear thick clothes. Because when you're going to break the news to them, dan gaan hulle for your bayaslan. They're going to pakslan. They're going to give you a good hiding. And they're going to tell you so many names which I can't mention on air. So my brother, you see, when we do things un-Islamically, now the guilty conscience get the better of us. Now you're married to your second wife, discreetly, secretly, after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, now you're playing hide and seek and so forth. Nighttime, you were the first wife. Daytime, you were the second wife, or vice versa, whatever it is. So remember that the game will be exposed. The secret will be exposed. So therefore, the Quran Kareem taught us in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. When you fear you cannot do justice between the 2, 3, 4 wives, then stick to one wife only. Old is gold, my brother. So anyway, Allah make easy for you, and you must exercise justice. Now you got married to the second one, the first one knows nothing, and now you feel it's time to break the news. So better read 2 rakat salat, and better wear some thick clothes and so forth, and you better be very careful how you're going to handle it. Remember, when they are upset, then don't blame anybody else besides yourself. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it is because of your own deeds and your own actions. So that will be the consequence of your actions.
Subhanallah. Brother Yahya says, Mufti Sahib Pal is a beautiful place. Vanakom Mufti Sahib Pal too.
Ek was klaar daar, my broer. Ons sal weer kom, inshallah. We will visit Cape Town, inshallah, again. And if we get time, we will might visit Pal also.
Subhanallah. I need some pearls from the Ustad.
Inshallah.
Muftam, I buy gifts for my husband. He complains and says I'm wasting his money. I don't work and he gives me an allowance. Should I stop buying gifts? It's things he needs, like tools or clothes for work. What do I do, Ustad? Anonymous sister.
Yes, when he's making noise and he's saying that you're wasting his money and so forth, then don't buy it so often. If you are buying him gifts every month, so buy it every third month, every second month, fourth month, like that. It's very good that husband and wife should share gifts with one another. More so, it should be unexpected and things they really require and need. And you, the wife, you must be a diplomat and a sharp diplomat. You know your husband's socks are now a little bit worn out, so you buy socks for him. You know his hankies are a little bit now dull and they lost color, so you buy that for him. So you can buy things and then you present it to him from your darling, from your honey, from your sweetheart, from your poppy. Whatever you want to write, you write there. So what will happen? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahadu, give gifts to one another, tahabu, and that will generate mutual love. The husband, wife, the love will be enhanced. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الضَّغَائِنَ. When you give gifts to one another, it removes the malice, the rancor, the hatred. The hadith is authentic in Bayhaqi, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. So therefore, maybe you are doing it too often and so forth. But once he gave you the money, it is your money and you can spend it in anything that is permissible, so that's fine.
084-786-3132. Listeners, says here, Mufti Sahib, last week Saturday on As-Safina to Ila al-Jannah, Mawlana Arafat and Hazrat Mawlana Salim Kareem were touching on the word love. So the listener is saying here, Mufti Sahib, we are a newly married couple. How do we grow our love for each other? Please advise both of us, Mufti Sahib. We really, truly, dearly love each other a lot. Ustad.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala keep the love and enhance it as well. Normally when I deliver lectures to the females, then and I touch this topic about nikah and so forth, then I say, let me give you this prescriptions, or sorry, let me give you this recipes. And then when we speak to the men and the same lecture, we say, let us give you these same prescriptions. So whether we call it recipes or whether we call it prescriptions, the end result will be the same. Tilka asharatun kamila, it is 10 points. So let us now go through the 10 points quickly. Now you are married. Tonight is your wedding night. I know yours is finished, but now I'm just explaining for the benefit of all the listeners, mashallah, so they can benefit. So tonight is your wedding night. On your wedding night, you need to learn 3-4 things and do for 3-4 things. Number one is, oh husband, wife, now you alone. Your nikah took place today. You are in khalwat, privacy. So first thing, husband, wife, you perform salat together. Husband in front and the wife at the back. Husband will give iqama and you lead the salat. Your wife behind you, not on your side. So the hadith in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, so that's a sunnah Nabi alayhi salam taught the ummah. Second one will be, you take water and you sprinkle on her head. Inni u'idhuha bika wa dhurriyata min ash-shaytani rajim. Ya Allah, I seek protection. You protect her, protect the children that will emanate from her, from the Satan, the accursed. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Ya Allah, whatever good quality she has, let us share it. Whatever weaknesses she has, let us protect her and protect me. She will do the same. The hadith in Musannaf Abdul Razak. So that is sprinkling water both ways, husband to wife on her forehead and the wife on the husband's forehead. Third one, remember, you give a gift, and that is husband giving a gift to the wife beside the mahar. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave milk to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. That is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. Fourth one, Bukhari Sharif riwayat and hadith. That is before husband wife you sleep and you meet and so forth and conjugal relationship, you must learn the dua. Normally the youngsters, this is one of the duas they learn very quickly. Bismillah jannibni wa jannibi shaitana marzaktana. Oh Allah, that I take your name, save me from the shaitan, and save my awlad, my offspring that will come from here. So save them and protect them from the shaitan as well. Bismillah jannibni wa jannibi shaitana marzaktana. So remember that these are the four things. Now for the marriage to enhance and go forward and the love must increase, salam to one another. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَأَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam. Your house will become a home. Your home will become Dar as-Salam, a home of peace, tranquility, serenity. Give gifts to one another, as I mentioned just now. So that also will enhance the love and the mahabba. Then the next one, share the same utensils. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha drinking water. After that, the Master alayhi salam took the glass, turned it around, and the side from where she drank, he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drank from there. Wa ana ha'izun. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, whilst I was in menses, the Master alayhi salam did this, the hadith in Sunan Nasai. Imagine how Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha felt so special. Then you smile with one another. Today people want to smile with their secretary. They want to smile with other people's wives. But they don't want to smile with their own wife. And smiling is contagious. When you smile, the opposite party will also smile. And then the next one is, keep affectionate names. And that is that you don't call her by her name, Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Aisha. Oh darling, oh poppy, oh sweetheart, oh Jan, and so forth. You understand? So remember. Today I read one nice story, Maulana, but this is for people who understand. I'll come to the story now. Let me just give this. And the last one, make dua together. Read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. So read these duas. So 10 recipes, 10 prescriptions, and then you will be moving forward with love and mahabba and affection. The husband and wife were story time. The husband and wife were having a discussion. Wife asked, Oh husband, why you call me Rani? So Rani, one meaning can be, you understand, princess and so forth. So he, the husband, said that, Your actual name is Nokrani. Nokrani means knocker, like you see, worker. Like, so you're the worker in the house. You have to clean the house, cook the meals, do this, do that. So I don't want to say Nokrani. I said Rani, Rani. So the wife got upset. So she was sharp also. So she asked the wife asked the husband, now it's her turn. Oh, hubby, then why you call me Jan, Jan? You don't understand? So then it was a member. So the husband asked his wife, that why you call me Jan, Jan? And so the wife said, that is also shortcut. How Rani is shortcut for Nokrani. So Jan, Jan is shortcut for Janwar, for animal. You understand? So this time. But don't play with it, this husband, wife. Remember, this sometimes it can lead to bad consequences.
29 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Don't do that, listeners out there. I see somebody says, Muftisa, very good humor that from Carolina. Ustad. Ustad, is there any verse in the Quran or Sahih Hadith which discourage a person marrying a close relative like cousin, sister, etc. due to the fact that it will cause an illness in the child which will be born, like what the scientists say? Ustad, Brother Faisal.
No, my brother Faisal, in the noble Quran, there's no verse like that. In authentic ahadith also, there's nothing like that. And when we see the Seerah Mubarakah, the life history of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we see? We see that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting his beloved daughter Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha married to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and lo and behold, that they were cousins. And then Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha making wasiyat to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, that after my demise, then you must marry Umama binti Zainab, that you must marry the cousin, meaning her sister's daughter. So her sister was Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha, the daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha is married to Abul As radiallahu an, and they had a daughter by the name of Umama. And Sayyidina Sayyida Fatima said, after my demise, you must marry her. So again, they're getting married to cousins, so therefore we reject that. That is now some people in the medical fraternity, they say this, they say that. Remember, we believe in wahi and revelation. Quran Sharif and authentic sunnah are supra logical, above the logic and research and observation of people. Therefore we have a law in Islam. When there's a conflict between reason and revelation, we always must give revelation preference. جب عقل اور نقل کے درمیان تعارض ہو تو پھر نقل کو ترجیح دینا چاہیے. When there is a conflict between نقل, revelation, and aqal, our reasoning, then the revelation must get preference at all times, all places, all circumstances. That is what Islam is teaching us.
Ustad, you have to listen to this question. This is from Four Ways Sentence. Mufti Sahib, my husband and I had an argument about 9 years ago. He mentioned the word talaq times three. I didn't go under any iddat period. We never realized what happened at the time. I just read up about talaq at the end of August the 13th. I need to know, Mufti Sahib, if this is valid. I also have a son which is 7 years old. Please understand, Mufti Sahib, we were not aware of this. We lived a normal life and still are. I want to know if I didn't go under iddat, am I still married? This is eating me up and having problems. Please, I await your reply. Shukran. This is anonymous sister Ustad.
Yes, in a case like that, ignorance of the law does not make it become an excuse. Sister, let me just elaborate on this for a moment. If a person perform wudu, and after the wudu, he reads salat, but that same person there, that now wind was coming out, or drop of urine was coming out, and he says after 1 year, 5 years, 9 years, 10 years, you know that I didn't know that this will nullify the wudu and the ablution. So what will you say? You will say that ignorance of the law does not justify it. How you know how to make wudu? You had to learn the basic rules that nullify and break the wudu. Similarly, upon both of you, husband and wife, you got married, the Maulana, the Imam, the Sheikh performed the nikah, and you are married quite long, it seems, and so forth. Now to say that after 9 years, 8 years, 7 years, whatever the case is, that we did not know that That does not make any difference. So 9 years ago, your husband gave you 3 talaq, so your marriage is finished, totally finished. Both of you were living in sin, and every moment you live together, Allah Ta'ala's curse is there. And remember, in a case like this, both of you now are total strangers to one another. You must separate immediately, and you must continue with your life. He will continue with his life. And remember that son or daughter or child or children you have, then now you will be the one that will have to look after the child, because in cases like this, it's best to give the mother to look that the child will go to him, and to her rather, to the mother. And remember that you cannot remarry, you cannot reconcile as things stand now, so you must separate totally immediately. Quran Kareem states, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَأَتِي. When divorce has taken place, yes, you did not sit for iddat, so for that you get a sin, but remember that the iddat, everything expired long time ago, so both of you now must lead independent lives. You cannot be sharing the same house, the same bedroom, nothing. You're strangers to one another. And remember that this is according to all four schools. The Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, all of them say that 3 talaqs is 3, and ignorance will not be considered as an excuse.
Ustad, I see we got brother Yahya again, Fandi Palaf. He says, Muftisab as ek vir, Yahya. Muftisab said the dua, Allahumma, bismillahi, jannibni. He says, I stopped there. Vakha bichi Muftisab, te fir, te khou.
Te fanach.
Te fanach, ah.
Fanach afani. So there. So you must remember that from Pal. Now come slowly, slowly. Ons gaan stadig, stadig vir Buddha Yahya van Paal af. Right, skryf my Buddha. Allah, bismillahi. So you must mooi skiet, ne? So you must remember that. You must read this before you go to your wife. And plus you got 2 wives. So you have to read the dua twice also. So once by first wife and one by the second wife. So that is how. So my Buddha now, let's start. Bismillahi, in the name of Allah. Jannibni, so Allah, you protect me, save me. Wa jannibish shaitana. Wa jannibish shaitana. And put the shaitan far, far away. Baitakant, he must go. Ni banakant, ni baitakant. So stand and tell the shaitan, eight is ye. So wa jannibish shaitana. Marzakatana, what children, offspring you are going to give us. I'm reading it 2 more times, my Buddha Yahya. Bismillahi, jannibni, wa jannibish shaitana, marzakatana. Bismillahi, jannibni, wa jannibish shaitana, marzakatana. So klaag geskryf my Buddha Yahya, so alles is reg. Nou moet jy by al 2 vroue gaan, en eerste die dua lees, en maak moed my dua, hulle al 2 moet nie jou slaan nie. So you have to read the dua and make dua, they don't give you hiding also.
22 minutes to 12, we're going to go. One more question, Brother Tobela. You need to listen to this one, Brother Tobela. Muftisab, I am married 60 years now, and I'm looking for wife number 2. Can I marry a 19-year-old girl? My great-granddaughter is also 19. It is permissible in Islam, Ustad.
Yes, you're saying it's permissible, so why are you asking me? So you must remember that. So you are married 60 years, so why you don't just remain with her? 60 years, she gave you loyalty, she gave you sincerity, you deflowered her, everything. And tomorrow when you fall sick, then that 19-year-old tart and young girl, she won't worry much about you. She will be looking at your money and your bank balance. Een manse dood is ander manse brood. So you're going to complicate so many issues, because she also will have to inherit and so forth. So you know, I went for janaza. Our auntie Mariam passed away, and on Saturday night, so I met one brother. We grew up together, we went to school together, Harun Mullah, and I was sympathizing with him because his father also passed away. So he told me that his parents, you know, were married for almost 70 years.
Allah.
So you remember, because when he passed away, he was 91, 92 years old. So imagine that is a lifetime. 70 years you are married, 60 years you are married. So if you're asking me for advice, I will tell you no. Forget all this idea. Baji, your one leg is in the grave now. Make istighfar, make tawbah, all that. And jaiz, you said yourself, is permissible. So if you're asking me for advice, then just forget it. Stay with your wife, because you are going to make a lot of complications regarding the inheritance and many other issues as well. So that is my advice to you.
20 minutes to 12. I see everybody wants that dua. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and record the dua, inshallah, and send out to all the listeners. That Bismillahi jannibni wa jannibi shaytana ma razaqtana. Ustad, I see everybody wants that dua, inshallah. Ji, Ustad.
Ji, Mona Arafat will record it. And remember the translation of it. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Jannibni, save me, protect me. Wa jannibi shaytana, and protect me from the shaytan, and protect my awlad, my offspring to come. So therefore our children are so rebellious, disobedient, when we were hot and now we were just going, you understand, ducking and diving and busy. So we don't read any du'as. So washarikhum fil amwali wal awlad. Then the shaitan also is involved there. He becomes a partner. So no, Islam say this is ibadat also. So therefore we take the name of Almighty Allah. So protect me and protect my children that will come in the future. And the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that is what I want to say, Mawlana Arafat, when you record it, say Rawahul Bukhari, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Bismillahi jannibni wa jannibi shaitan.
19 minutes to 12, we'll go inshallah for an ad break. When we come back, listeners of Sari SFM and listeners of the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, don't go away.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
16 minutes to 12. Indeed, you are tuning in, listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome the listeners, and we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and the company. Ustad, somebody says here, I would like to remain anonymous. Salam, Mufti Sab. My mother-in-law finds fault with me, but favors my sister-in-law because she lives with her. Anonymous, Ustad.
Obviously, that all this will continue till day of Qiyamah. In Urdu is a nice word, you call it meh meh tutu. You say something, she says something, and you don't agree and so forth. So let's now use this as a case study. That you are married to ABC, your husband Zaid, and now your sister-in-law, that is the other brother, is married now to that lady there, so his name is Bakr, right? So Zaid and Bakr. So you don't have to say Abu Bakr always, Bakr also on its own is a name as well. So nevertheless, now we go on. So you and your mother-in-law is favoring Fatima, but she don't like you, you understand, Aisha. Whatever the case is, example I'm giving. So what must you do, O Aisha, in a case like this? So you must first cement your ties with your husband and explain to your husband that, see, I am doing this, I am doing that, but your mother is not appreciating, and then she twists and turns the story to make Aisha look bad and so forth and so on. So first step must be you turn to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Everybody, everything is in the control of Almighty Allah. And remember, yesterday's dushman and enemy becomes tomorrow's best friend. That also we saw and we know it happens. So say, Ya Allah, Allah ma'allif bayna qulubina, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud, Ya Allah, bring about love, understanding, so forth, so on. Second one is this, with your husband, you explain to him and so forth. Third one, he must stand for you when you are right, not when you are wrong. And he must tell his mother with respect that, you know, mummy, that this is the story and so forth. Not like how you are misunderstanding it, misconstruing it and so forth and so on. And maybe the other daughter-in-law is also instigating the mother-in-law, which happens many a time, because she is there living with mother-in-law and now they want to marginalize you. So they play their game and so forth. And if it is that, I'm just giving you different scenarios. If that that is the truth, then people are scheming, plotting against you. You, Sister Aisha, must be reading Surah 40, verse 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Yo Allah, I'm handing over my matters and affairs to you. You are all observing over the servants. And the next verse, Surah 40, verse 45, Almighty Allah states, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Allah will save that person from the plotting, planning, screaming of the others. I tried it, I still read it. You must read it, because this world is not a utopian world. People got hidden agendas, ulterior motives. They front, they meet us, Hazrat, Hazrat. Behind us, they stabbing us in our backs, and all this goes on. So you must read that. Read Surah 29, verse 30. Surah chapter 29, verse 30. Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. O Allah, assist me against the troublemakers and the mischief makers. So step number one, turn to Allah. Step number two, cement your relationship with your husband. Step number three, not you, tell your husband, the son, to speak to his mother. And step number four, tell your husband and your mother-in-law when you have your meeting and everybody's in a good mood, not in front of everybody. Whatever you, as the daughter-in-law, is doing for the mother-in-law, it is a favor and not obligatory upon you. So she also needs to know, whatever good you are doing, remember, it's just min babil ihsan, it's just a favor you are doing. It's not something Islam said is mandatory, compulsory upon you.
0847863132. Ustad, the question says here, this is, I was going to say Little Humaira, but she's not Little Humaira. She says, I just turned 18 and I am like a daughter to you, Mufti Saab. I don't ever want to get married, as I hear marriage is hell. Is this true? Because many people I know are living through it, Mufti Saab. What should I do? They say it's like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Okay, Humaira, just turned 18 years old, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Humaira, so why you are so negative, my daughter, my sister Humaira? Let's start from the beginning. The hadith is mentioned in Dara Qutni. The hadith kitab is called Dara Qutni. Sometimes people pronounce it incorrectly. Secondly, there Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Humaira. Oh, you Humaira, referring to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, with a beautiful red complexion, reddish whitish complexion, which enhances her beauty. Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq. She was Siddiqa. She is Siddiqa. Her father is Siddiq. So the greatest people of this ummah, remember that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the greatest as well. So we should remember that is why Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Don't call your wife by one name, give her different names. Ya Aish, Ya Muwaffaqa, Ya Siddiqa, Ya Humaira, all this you will find. Now, second thing, my daughter Humaira, why you want to be negative? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Yes, if there are 40-50% of the marriages that are breaking and that are stale marriages, the marriage is on the rocks and the husband is in the docks. So all that we agree. But look at the other side of the coin. There are still 50% of the Muslims. MashaAllah, their marriages with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah are stable. And once you click with one another, once you see eye to eye and you have that understanding, then marriage becomes a long, long honeymoon also. Remember that. So don't only be negative. If you're going to be negative, Sister Humaira, then this hadith is applicable. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Almighty Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. I will treat my servant as he or she thinks of me. So if you thinking that Allah Ta'ala will not help you, your marriage will end in disaster, in divorce and so forth, Allah forbid, that is what will happen. So in Hadith Qudsi, is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Ahmed. So this is the plan of action, the road map, as we call it nowadays. This is your road map, my daughter Humaira. daily after Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha, or Tahajjud time is the best. You read 2 rakat salat. You are still in your 18 years old. The whole life is still ahead of you, inshallah. You read 2 rakat salat and you say, Ya Allah, grant me such a spouse, such a husband, salihan, taqiyan. Ya Allah, give me such a husband that is good, that is pious, upright, good character, and so forth. Ya Allah se mangna hai, Allah se lena hai. Beg Almighty Allah and take from the treasures of Allah. Read the dua Quran taught us of Ibadur Rahman, Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that will be the coolness of the eyes. Third one, Sister Humaira, Daughter Humaira, one rain every day you give out. Ya Allah, whatever calamities were supposed to come my way, diverted to other people, diverted to somebody else. So one rain a day, lillah, in the path of Allah. You try that, your tahajjud or your ordinary salat, you read 2 rakats and you make your dua, you give charity, and remember, inshallah, when the proposals start coming, you consult with your parents. Your parents are happy, you are happy, and then inshallah, you try your level best. In tansurullah, you want to lead a pure, chaste life, yansurkum, Allah's help also comes. There will be unch niche, there will be upside down things sometimes, but you must be able to handle it also. And remember that when there is sincerity on both sides, then Allah Ta'ala brings the hearts together as well and unites them. And read Ya Wadudu daily, read the 99 names of Allah. So first thing, when negativity comes, say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, and inshallah you will become a good wife for somebody with the fazal grace of Allah and the du'as and blessings of your parents.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. Yes, listeners of Sirius FM and listeners of Markaz Sahaba, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage Part 1. Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And of course, Part 2 will be tomorrow between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Ustada, we've got a very angry brother this morning here. He's all the way from Edenvale. I don't know if Ustad has been there or not. Edenvale. He says, Mufti Saab, I hate my wife with a passion. I hate her. Can I give her poison to drink? Anonymous brother Ustad.
Why you want to do all haram things? You become guilty of homicide and murder and so forth. If you hate her so much, you can't fulfill her rights. She don't want to fulfill your rights. Your marriage relationship has become toxic. So go for temporary separation, and she goes to her parents' house or brother's house, and you remain there, and absence make the heart grow fonder, and maybe things will work out. And if things don't work out, remember, then issue one talaq, and then see how things work out. You don't do a crazy thing like now, saying, I'll take the gun and shoot her, or I will give her poison, or I will stab her. You don't do these type of things. It's totally haram, unlawful, not permissible in Islam. So you have the exit route, and that will be talaq. But I'm not suggesting talaq for a moment. I'm saying first try temporary separation. And that don't work, then you go to talaq as a last resort. So always be very careful about this, and don't adopt any means that are not permissible in Islam. Then you will be guilty of murder, and imagine that what the consequences will be then. So my advice to both of you, that both of you need to grow up and don't behave like children, because what's happening now, your marriage is toxic. You're doing things not to pull together but to spite one another. You tell her cook chips, she will go cook some rice. You tell her to cook rice, she will go make some dal and this type of thing. She tells you go buy potatoes, you go buy tomatoes. So you're doing things to spite one another rather than doing things to pull together. So therefore both of you need a little bit space, and that is where the temporary separation will be good for both of you.
Ustad, it's 3 minutes left before you go, inshallah, for your announcement, Ustad. I just want to read this. It's actually not a question. It's from Sister Humaira, 18 years old. She says, you see, Mufti Saab, being my father, that's what I'm talking of about marriage. That's number one. Number two is Brother Yahya from Pal. He says, Mufti, maybe to the Sister Humaira, she's 18 years old, I got a son, Abdul Rahman, 23 years old. He's looking for the good girl, Mufti. Maybe you can contact us to little Humaira, Ustad.
Ekendi for Yahyani, Ekendi for Humairani. I don't know Yahya, I don't know Abdul Rahman, I don't know Humaira. Our job is just to give advice to the Ummah and Allah. Give happiness to the Ummah. For us, the greatest joy is your happiness. Mm. The greatest sadness is to see the house breaking. So Therefore, I just said now that remember that in this case here, that what was will happen that gives a temporary separation rather than just go give talaq and so forth. Okay, inshallah, let's just announce the programs quickly for today. Inshallah, now 12 o'clock will be news, and thereafter our brother Alphas and Kosi, and thereafter inshallah 1 o'clock adhan, 1:05 to 1:30 will be the tafsir, and then 1:30 to 2:00 will also be tafsir, then 2 to 3 will be Sheikh Zakaria, and then 3 to 5 our brother Yusuf Ali, 5:30 to 7:00 will be Moana Khalid Yaqub, and then inshallah that after 7 to 7:30 will be tafsir, and 7:30 will be tomorrow Yunus Patel's advices. Tonight 8 to 9:00 will be Moana Bilal Katrada with technical watch, inshallah. Tomorrow 8 to 9:00 medical file, Dr. Yusuf Wahid, and his special guest is Dr. Sifo Mflozi, so the head of forensic medication in KwaZulu Natal and forensic medicine. So this is very important that Dr. Sipo Mflozi, he will be, I hope I pronounced it right, the head of forensic medication in KwaZulu-Natal. So he will be the special guest tomorrow in medical file between 8 and 9. Our brother Yusuf Ali is here. MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair to Mohan Arafat, to Brother Tobela, and to our brother Yusuf Ali. Shukran jazilan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Minute left to 12 o'clock. We say Jazakumullah khair to all the listeners of Sirius FM and all the listeners of the Voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with handsome Yusuf Ali. From myself, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdinasa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.